Well, good morning, church. And this is really a wow. It's exciting to be here. And good morning to everyone that's online and watching this morning. It's a real privilege to be here. I never thought I would be here sharing my testimony at any stage. So while I was thinking about what to say and where I should begin, because there is layer upon layer, I thought about all the other testimonies I've heard over the years and how they affected me at the time. And how many of them do I still remember? And after all, if someone is sharing their testimony with me, I want to think about it. I want to be impacted by their story and about what that person went through in their life and how Jesus saved them. And how it could help me today and in the future. So I pray right now that every word that comes out of my mouth will be used for the glory of God. And that the Holy Spirit will guide it onto fertile ground in your hearts and those watching online and later. Amen. So the last time, and every time I go through this story, I become a bit of a blubbering mess. When it comes to realization of the hurt that I've caused, kind of affects me because I've got a conscience now. So if I do that again, just excuse me. It's really actually precious to feel that emotion that I've got now. I thought it was numb for such a long time. But now I feel like I'm actually a believer because the Holy Spirit is upon me. So before I get started about myself, okay, I want to pay tribute to my family. Okay, so could we please have the first photo on the screen? Who loves that, hey? Last time I couldn't find a photo of Rochelle, so I've got one. And I couldn't think of a better one of their wedding day. But there was one person missing on that, and that's my sister's husband, Luke. And by the way, Pamela, the pastor of City View Church, says hello to all of you, and she sends her love to all of you. So when you realize that you have an amazing family, we should actually acknowledge that to all. My family, who never gave up on me when I was a total mess, who kept on praying for me even when it looked hopeless. My family who kept on fighting for me even when I hurt them and walked away. My family who showed me love in action. And thank you for never giving up on me. Next photo, please. I love this one as well. Look at that young man there. He came to preach to you a few weeks ago. You wouldn't believe how young he was there. My mum, absolutely gorgeous. My mum and dad laid a foundation in their marriage of honouring God and loving Jesus with all they had. And because of that, David and Pamela are true believers in Jesus. And now I am also. But not just their children. It's their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. What a heritage God has given my parents. I thank my parents and my family for showing me the love of Jesus. So as David has introduced me, my name is Stephen John Warwick. I've actually got my dad's name. And for a long time, I probably upset my dad for having his name because he was really wondering. I was born on the 18th of December 1971. I've now turned the age of 50, which is even more scary. Okay, I was born in South Perth Hospital. Next photo, please. Now this is believe it or not, that was once me. I was cute, I really was. Look at me now, oh goodness. Only I didn't stay that innocent. For the first 8 years of my life, I grew up in Belmont and I went to Belmay Primary School. And as a family, we attend Cloverdale AOG, where of course my family was involved in the church. Things in a Warwick household was great, and I had a loving family who spoilt me. You would think a young child born in the 1970s would be a good boy. Times were different. No social media, no internet, nothing really to pollute the child's minds like there is today. Kids had to go outside for fun and play physically with others. Only not for this ex-black sheep. I think my parents learned very quickly that I was going to be very different to David and Pamela, and I learned to do things that were unacceptable. Very early in my life, and I thought about this story, and I thought about, should I mention it? Because it kind of got a bit bad. It's actually a bad story. I learned about the wonders of fire. When I was about 6 years old, two separate times, I set fire to parts of the house. And if you can remember back in the 1970s, the houses weren't built in brick. They were built in fibre. And it's amazing that the house, a miracle that the house didn't burn down. My poor parents. Then just before my 9th birthday, Dad and Mum moved our family to Armidale. And Dad became the pastor, and my family were very much involved in our new church. And I attended Gwyn Park Primary, and later went to Cecil Andrews High School. There are numerous stories I could of my naughty behaviour as a child that I could share with you. And actually, I could probably waste a good 5 hours telling you about all the stuff that I did. And you probably think, well, you're a bad kid. Maybe you should have put it into a naughty boys' home. And kids are bad. Kids are naughty. Kids are kids. They push the limits. And I certainly push the limits. The title of this talk is Life Begins with a Choice. We all have choices in life. And those choices have consequences, whether good or bad. I was praying the other day when I was doing this. And by the way, I've been working on this for 6 months. Pamela first asked me, and it's really, really difficult. Sometimes a dredge in the past when you've done difficult things because you're reaping up painful things that you don't want to remember about. And I was praying to God, what can I use as illustration? And God said, use this. It's the story of the parable of the lost son. And actually, there's quite a few in our family. So if we can put the scriptures on the screen, please. It's found in Luke chapter 15, and I'm going to read part of it, not the whole story. So it's verse 11 to 16. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons, just like my dad and mum. The younger one, just like me, said to the father, give my share of the estate. So he divided the property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country. And there squandered all his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to feed the pigs, into the fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. As a teen, I attended church and youth group and did all the things I thought was expected. Only I viewed church and youth group as a social scene. I knew the talk of a believer, and I thought I was a Christian. Even though I knew of Jesus, I had no understanding who Jesus was. Before I reveal some parts of my life that I look back at the devastation and the pain that I caused my family, which started in the teens, and only really ended 5 years ago, it now cuts me so deep that I've become so twisted with sin that I didn't care about anything or anyone except feeling good. For anyone who has been addicted to the pleasures of the flesh knows a moment of feeling good never lasts long. The time of pleasure continues to shrink, so you go deeper and try more things just to feel that rush of feeling something. At the age of 19, I got married for the first time. That marriage lasted 2 years, and those 2 years is where it all went to another level. So if we show the next photo, I hope this one comes clear. There was never really many photos of me this, because I'm glad there wasn't, but Rochelle gave me this one. Yeah, that's pretty bad, hey? So I dealt with areas of South gratification that were devastating for all that loved me. The list of destruction follows. Sacked and charged by police for stealing from my employer. I was drinking, smoking, and I became a glutton. And I went from an overweight size to eat my way to morbidly obese size of 180 kilos to feel something. To be totally honest, there was no scale big enough. Mum took me to the chemist because the home scale only goes to 140. And it was between 160 to 180. Anyway, I was renting a unit of a dear lady from Dad's church, and I stole a year's rent off her. And it was so much more that today I am embarrassed to say. Those are just a few examples, just a fraction of what I was doing just to feel. Everything I did was for my own self-gratification. You may be thinking, how did it escalate so fast? If you recall, I said this title of the talk was Life Begins with a Choice. I chose from a young age to choose to do things that pleased me. Selfishness. I allowed sin and the devil to creep into my life like a day turning night. It gradually happened, and I found myself in a hole of sin and shame that I created, surrounded by darkness. The devil tempts and deceives and manipulates. He is a father of lies, and he tells them in a way that made me feel that I was okay. Even that photo, I felt like I was still okay. That I was a Christian, that I was feeling, that feeling good was my right as a human being. The darkness of sin that consumed me at that time could no longer be controlled. I could no longer hide it, and I still thought I could. That marriage obviously fell apart. Dad and Mum confronted me over an issue, and I sat there in their lounge room and I lied straight to their face. And that time was the only time I saw my dad gutted, lost for words. His youngest son, who had his name, had totally rejected Jesus and the family. When the devil has got hold of someone, it doesn't just affect the person, it affects, has a devastating effect on all that loves that person. At the age of 22, after rejecting Mum and Dad accepted me back into their home with a strict regime. And if you know my mum, she's really scary when she gets like that. She turned into a sergeant major and she put me on a diet and regular exercise. And I went back to church with a mission to get to know Jesus. And over the next few years, I tried to do the right thing. I attended church, sang the songs, tried to read the Bible. Yet the devil still wasn't finished with me. I was still making choices to harm myself. You may think, well, why wasn't the devil finished with you? Well, I still didn't understand who Jesus is. At church, I confessed my sin and did everything we're supposed to do for human eyes. Only in my ignorance, I didn't understand who Jesus is. I took for granted God's grace. And even though I knew that God knows our thoughts, as it says in Psalms 139, verse 1 and 2, Lord, you've examined me and you know all about me. You know when I sit down, you know when I get up, you know my thoughts before I even think them. I felt a bit guilty for the sin and the hurt I caused. Only I wasn't prepared to release it to God so he could remove my sin from me. During the next few years, I felt lonely and empty again because all I had to fill in my heart was sin. So I thought I would meet another woman, hoping that a good woman would fix me and make me feel like I was a successful man that I so dreamed of. I was looking at people and things to make me feel. Again, I broke Mum and Dad's heart by moving in with her, and I did that while Dad and Mum were away preaching. I knew it was wrong. I was a coward, and I moved in with her behind their backs. And at that time, David and my sister Pamela took me to Sizzlers and gave me a chance to rectify my ways, but I shut them down. I rejected them and made choices only for myself. Well, that marriage didn't last long. I had two sons, my oldest two sons, 23 and 20 now. Because during that marriage, it didn't last long because I was choosing sin. And sin destroys everything it touches and leads to the death of our souls, as it says in Romans 6. During that time, my family was praying for me like they had always done and still do for me. And what I realize now is whether it's your natural family or your spiritual family, if they are fighting for you in prayer, God will be listening and working to save you. No prayer goes unanswered. So after that marriage, once again, I went back to church. And this time I went to the church called Southern River Christian Church, which is now Real Life. I knew I was going back to the church because it was a place where I felt comfortable. I felt safe there. I'd showed, once again, people that I had repented and repeated the process of getting my life right again. Only, except it was nothing but religion to me. I didn't feel anything because the sin had turned me into a prideful, arrogant man. I was wearing a mask of a Christian on Sundays and got involved into the church. Only for the rest of the week, I was angry at being a failure. And I didn't take ownership of anything in my life. Here's a thought for you all. If we're asking for forgiveness, shouldn't we feel guilty or convicted? If we're asking for forgiveness, we must own our sin at that point in time. We must face the consequences of what our sin has done, otherwise we return to our sin like a dog returns to its vomit. It's a bit gross, that analogy. That is found in Proverbs 26, verse 11. Only it's true. I returned to my sin. And again, since I didn't know Jesus, I had no guilt, no ownership for my choices. Once again, a few years later of being single, I got lonely. So I looked for another partner, third one. And I just needed to be a good husband. I needed to be a good man. Only I didn't know how to be because I had no good in me. Sin had so twisted my life up that I had no identity. My self-confidence was so low, I was depressed, I was suicidal, I was miserable and empty. I was filling my life up with alcohol and other addictions just to feel. I had my two youngest boys at that time, and they were hospitalized at birth, and that added to a load of trauma that was in my life. My life was spiraling out of control, and I didn't know how to stop it, and the only way I knew was death. And it looked better to me than what the past looked like. The devil had a plan for me. I never realized that. And like God bringing people into our lives to encourage us and help us, I believe the devil brings people into our lives that are like-minded with us, that will help us in our destruction of our lives. Well, what was my turning point? When did I stop being religious and own my sin and become a believer of Jesus? My third marriage was doomed, just like the previous two, because sin and the devil was the focal point. About 2 years before the marriage ended, I just woke up. Don't know what happened. The prayers of my family probably got through to the thick skull. I looked at my two younger boys and I knew I had to live. It gave me a purpose. It gave me a hope. Because of the foundation that my parents also had established in my life, I had something to cling to. I didn't fully understand how to, but the process had started. Just imagine your whole life you had been in an ocean, being tossed back and forth by the stormy waves, somehow staying afloat, prayers of my family. Until when I stopped panicking and saw a rock to hold on to and keep me still. In other words, I said to Jesus, I can't keep on going like this. I need Jesus. Unfortunately, the rescue helicopter my family were praying for couldn't grab me out of the storm straight away. My family was making the calls to tell him where I was. The problem was me being rescued out of the storm, of letting go of the past. That rock that kept me still, it was keeping me still, though I was still being smashed by the stormy waves. I had to let go and reach for the rescue helicopter. I had to let go and reach for Jesus. I didn't know, I don't know how many times over the past years I thought was I was beyond saving. This was the devil's last go of holding on to me, making me feel guilty and crippling my mind. I'm not being able to accept God's forgiveness. Only Jesus kept on reaching down to me, and the first time I reached back and he grabbed hold of my hand and pulled me out of the storm. I don't know if you're aware of people actually rescuing people out of situations. They have to reach down and someone has to reach back. It just doesn't happen. We have to reach back. I had to reach back for that. That was the first time in my life I understood Jesus. The light just switched on in my head for what he's done for me, what he has done for us. Some of us are slow to learn. I have been a very slow learner in my life. The prodigal son was an abuser of grace. Grace is most often defined as unmerited or unearned favor. He had a loving father, a good home, a provision, a future, an inheritance, but he traded it all in for temporal pleasures. I stand here today sharing you this story that I know now that I am saved from sin and death. And even though I've lost many years of my life, I am now not lost. And this Bible verse that we're going to read together, if we can put the Bible verse on the screen, actually means something now. It's a well-known one. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Before I finish, I'm going to read to you a part of a psalm. And over the last few years of me being rescued, it took me a while to understand, get back into the Bible, to actually understand how to. So I cut this out, listened to all the so-called secular music, and started listening to good Christian music. These people are sharing their lives with us, and it's actually scriptures. They're actually singing out scriptures, and that helped me onto the transition of reading the Bible. And I can say an honest truth, every day for the last year, my mind has been transformed because every day I read the daily bread and I get God's word into me and allow God to transform me. So this song, as I start reading it to you, this helps me describe my salvation. It helps me to remember the grace and mercy of God. It's a song by Tasha Layton. Look at what you've done. How could you fall so far? You should be ashamed of yourself. So I was ashamed of myself. The lies I believed, they got some roots that run deep. I let them take hold of my life. I let them control my life. Standing in your presence, Lord, I can feel you digging all the roots up. I can feel you healing all my wounds up. All I can say is hallelujah. Look at what you've done. Look at what you've done in me. You spoke your truth into the lies I let my heart believe. Look at me now. Look at how you made me new. The enemy did everything it could, but look at what you've done. Suddenly all the shame is gone. I thought I was too broken. Now I see you are breaking new ground inside of me. On the cross, in the grave, with the stone rolled away, all my debt, it was paid. Look what you've done. In my heart, in my mind, in my soul, in my life, with my hands lifted high, I'm singing, look at what you've done. Thank you very much.